Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth hour of the watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret, and moored to the shore. And when they had gotten out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might even touch the fringe of his garments. And as many as touched it were made well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the gospel lesson from the book of Mark. And for about the last 6 weeks, we've been reading from Mark chapter 6. When God used Mark to write the gospel that bears his name, very much did God allow Mark to make this a very fast-paced gospel. It's a hard-hitting gospel, and it's always to the point. Excuse me. The word "immediately" appears 40 times in the book of Mark. Immediately Jesus did this. Immediately this happened. Mark is one that moves quickly. There's no flowery language to it. It's concise, to the point. The entire gospel of Mark is packed full of Jesus' words and actions. Mark chapter 6 begins with Jesus getting evicted from his own hometown. Then he sent his disciples on a mission trip where they cast out demons and where they healed the sick. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we looked at John the Baptist getting beheaded. Last week was Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now this week, he walks on the water. The important part of the story is the how of the story. Mark tells the story. Now, how many of you were waiting for Peter to appear in this story where Peter walked on the water out to Christ? That's another one of the gospel lessons. Why would Mark leave this out? I don't know. But perhaps it was because the focus was not on Peter. The focus was what was Jesus doing. The four gospel writers all write from a unique perspective. They see the message that God is trying to carry to his people. Looking at different perspectives, how men and women go to weddings or report on what they saw at a wedding. All right? The woman might say it was a beautiful empire waist gown with beading on the front and made from shimmery satin. You know what a man would say? It was white. Someone might ask what the bride looked like. And the woman would say she had great eye makeup, diamond earrings, and great shoes. Do you know what the man would say? She was pretty. The woman might say of the flowers that they were calla lilies. You know what a man would say? They're real. Now, men do actually, when it comes to the wedding, just as a sidebar here, we are very observant on one thing. And do you know what that is? The buffet. Afterwards, a man can tell you everything that was served there and in what order it was and how every dish tasted. A woman will just say, it was good, but I didn't eat much. Anyway, same event, different details, a different emphasis. Each one of the gospel writers had their own purpose. Mark's focus is Jesus walking on the water. Focus is that Jesus is patient when our faith is weak. Sometimes we just don't get it like the disciples. Now, the disciples should have been on a spiritual high. This was right after Jesus had fed the 5,000 men plus the women and children and had 12 baskets full of fruit. Our gospel lesson begins with the words, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he'd taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out at sea and he was alone on the land. Jesus sends his disciples now to the next place where they're going to carry out the ministry. And Jesus sees from the shore that they're struggling. They're having a hard time making any headway. This time, at least, they're not the terrified group of disciples in the boat, afraid they're going to be swamped. At least this time, they're acting like the professional fishermen that they were. And they were making headway, albeit slow, because of the heavy winds. Then Jesus does something unexpected. Which, by the way, he seems to do an awful lot in the gospel lessons. He always does the unexpected. We would say a regular person would do, and yet Jesus then does something entirely different. He walks out towards them. And then you get a very strange phrase in there. He meant to pass them by. Now, what is that all about? He had this plan of sneaking around them, but he got caught. No. It's a Jewish expression which means something entirely different. In the Bible, when it's talking about passing by in this sense, it's something important is about to be revealed. We get a glimpse of his power. We get a glimpse of his holiness. We get a glimpse of his grace. Same thing happened back in the Old Testament with Moses on Mount Sinai. And we read in Exodus chapter 33, and Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before your name, my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on those whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Another place where it talks about God passing by is when his presence passed by the tabernacle in the wilderness. His presence then filled the tabernacle. That his power was real, his power was truly present. The lesson in Mark is that he is powerful, that he's in control of his creation itself. And you know, the disciples should not have been scared. Let's see, what have they seen so far in the book of Mark? Peter's mother-in-law was on her deathbed and was healed. He cured a leper, healed a paralyzed man, raised a dead man's girl, calmed the storm, cast out demons, fed 5,000, and all these other cool things that they had seen, and yet they're afraid again. Excuse me. Somehow, I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote this. They should have been filled, by the way, with a sense that God is in control, because Jesus was on the shore, and they were in the boat having troubles going forward because of the heavy winds. They should have had a sense of calmness because he is in control. He's been in control of everything. Why couldn't he be in control of this? For whatever reason, they're not. They're making the headway, but I think they're afraid as well. They're certainly afraid, we know, when Jesus starts to walk on the water. Their response is all wrong. Instead of, it's the Lord, they thought it was a ghost. That's what we learn in the other gospel lesson. They thought it was a ghost on the water. They didn't assume, well, this could be Jesus as well. But notice his response is not one of anger. He doesn't get mad at them for being scared. He just makes his identity a lot clearer to them. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got in the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astonished. Again, utterly astonished at all that he's done so far. He's already calmed the wind and the waves once earlier in Mark chapter 6. He does it again at the end of Mark chapter 6. And yet they're still utterly astonished. You know, if they had a complete trusting faith in God, they would have said, well, you've already done that one. Next time, can you do something different? But no, they're utterly astonished. Jesus doesn't get mad at them and say, just forget you guys. I'm tired of your unbelief. He comforts them by reassuring them of who he is. This lesson's about Jesus and his love for his people. As hard-headed, thick as we can be, God still loves us. The great comfort, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. We need to be reminded of that all the time. Don't be afraid. You know, we may not be sitting in a boat in the midst of a storm on a lake, but we get terrified or scared of the things around us quite often. We look at our lives and we realize we're not making a lot of headway. The problems we have, we worry about our children no matter what age they get. Do parents ever stop worrying about their kids? Nope. No matter how old they get. By the way, I still reserve the right to ground them. I don't care that they're in their 20s and 30s now. I still hold the right to ground them. But I'm still going to worry about them. We worry about sicknesses. We worry about job concerns. We worry about lots of things that we fear are going to wreck our lives. Jesus is in control. He can come to us any way he wants and how he chooses. But he always comes to comfort and forgive. He doesn't come to scold. When we're afraid of something or when we're overly concerned about something, he never comes to scold us. He comes to comfort us and forgive us. This is His grace, and it's beyond all understanding. The God who created the universe and everything in the universe also walked on water. He revealed His power, that He had power over everything. I think sometimes we might have that temptation to feel that God is so powerful and created the entire universe. How can He care about one person on one planet out of millions of planets out there? He cares about every person. I find great comfort in knowing that He knows how many hairs I have on my head. That He cares that much about us and He knows that trivial piece of information. He revealed His power. He conquered death. And He took our sins upon Himself. Jesus never forgot why He came. He never became overpowered by His popularity that He had. That crowds would just flock to see Him. And you get the idea that they stayed for days bringing Him their sick and their ill. In Ephesians chapter 3, they have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That last part, the love surpassing all understanding. Paul reminds us in those words in Ephesians that we have a God who is able to do far more abundantly than anything we ask of or could possibly think of and work His will in our lives. Then why do we get afraid of what's going on around us? Jesus sees, Jesus knows, He saves us, and He reveals Himself to us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.